Maybe you've seen the commercial on TV where the father and son are sitting on the couch, drinking a beverage and watching TV. The father leans back and takes the drink, and the son does likewise. The father takes off his shoes and puts his stocking feet on the coffee table, and so does the son. The mother is looking over their shoulders from the kitchen and has this bright idea that they ought to be drinking water instead of whatever the beverage is. And so the scene changes and she's bringing them both a bottle of water in exchange for their beverage. They both smile. The father leans back and takes a drink of the water and the son follows suit. All the way through the commercial, the son is doing what the father has shown as an example. He's mimicking his father. With that in mind, let's look to our scripture today from John's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up His life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, for He knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. Remember this commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. Those who obey God's commands remain in fellowship with Him and He with them. And we know that He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us in these moments to hear fresh Your Word for us today as the Word that gives us encouragement and excitement, that guides us in what we ought to do as we follow Your example in Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. By now we have gained, hopefully, a clear understanding that one of John's major themes as he writes not only his gospel, but these letters is love. Love for God and love for one another. And so he begins this passage, in fact, this whole chapter, with our example being Jesus and His love for us. In fact, he says, no greater love has anyone than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And he's pointing to the example of Jesus and reminding us that that is our example that we ought to follow. Unfortunately, sometimes this particular teaching has been abused and misused because John is not encouraging women or children who are abused in their homes to stay there for love and to enable the one who's abusing them. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about something that is sacrificial and that's voluntary, but that's for the benefit of someone else, not to enable bad behavior to keep on going. And so he reminds us that we ought to have this same kind of love for one another. For if anyone is well off, has any means whatsoever, and sees someone in need and does not help them, where is love? Now, love would be what helps. Love would be what shares. Love would be what gives. Love would be what makes a difference in somebody's life. And Jesus is our example that we are to follow. Suppose you're standing on a pier over a lake with a friend. And while you're looking there at the water, he picks up one of those life-saving floating rings and tosses it into the water. And says, see, I love you. And you'd probably be standing there shaking your head saying, what on earth are you talking about? What's that got to do with showing your love? If, on the other hand, you are actually in the water and fearful of drowning, and the guy or gal threw the ring in to save you and pulled you out, then you see how much they love you. Because they actually did something that mattered. Something that made a difference. And they don't have to stand there and say, see how much I love you? Because it's evident. It's obvious by what they have done, by their example of love. And so Jesus is our example. He's the one who gives us the model of laying down our life for others, of going to the point of sacrifice, of doing the extra mile, of being willing to demonstrate our love. And so what then does John ask of us? But to put it into action. It's not enough to have seen the example. It's not enough to have known the love of Christ. But what follows is automatic and ought to be compelling us. And that is to do what we have seen. To let that love that we have experienced pass through us to touch the life of someone else. So if we see someone who is hungry, we give them food. If we see someone who is thirsty, we give them something to drink. If we see someone who is naked, we give them some clothes. We help take care of the needs of others when God has provided us the means to do so. Now, this example of Jesus' love is interesting because it indicates a couple of things. One, it is voluntary. Jesus voluntarily gave up His life. He could have made another choice, but He didn't. And so on the one hand, it shows that love comes out of the heart. It comes out of our spirit that volunteers it, that eagerly gives it. But at the same time, it also shows the breadth and depth of God's love, because in that one action on the cross, we see how much God loves us. And so He says that there is for us but one command. It has two parts, but there is one command. And that is that we believe on Jesus and that we love one another just as He has commanded us. And both of those things are rooted in the same example of what Jesus has given us. In His giving His life voluntarily, we believe that He is the Son of God. And in being able to see in that sacrifice on the cross, the great love of the Father, we experience afresh God's love. And so we are to do both as one command. On the one hand, we believe in Jesus. The other side of the coin, if you will, is that we show the love in actions. And John is making it clear that our actions come out of the love of God. It's not that we do good works first. It's not that we have to prove that we love God in order to receive God's love. It's not that we earn God's love by showing how much we love one another. No, God's love is a free gift. And so we ought to then freely give it to one another. That's the action. That's our part. That's the part we put to work in our lives, over and over again. Sometimes it's easier than others, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but God has put in my life both people that are easy to love and people that are not so easy to love. And some of both categories are in my family. Amen? Yeah. And so we have this challenge. We get the example of those who are easy to love, and we get to practice on them, right? So that we can have the strength and the courage to love those that are harder to love. How many of you know you can't do that in your own strength? Yeah, you can't. And that's what John is saying. It comes out of God's love for us through Christ. He's the one who loves us and enables us to love those that are sometimes difficult to love. That's part of what makes family gatherings difficult, isn't it? because old so-and-so, fill in the blank, is liable to show up and they'll rub me wrong and I'm liable to say or do something I'm not proud of. Right? That's when we need God's Spirit at work in us most. And it's in those moments that He is able to transform us into His likeness. Because if it's never difficult, where is the learning? Where is the trust in God? Where is the giving of our life into His hands? If there's never a challenge. And so I want to remind us and encourage us that the next time you find yourself face to face with somebody that's hard to love or in a circumstance where it's hard to let that love flow, say, "Thank you, Lord, I get to learn right now. Because you've given me this chance to let your love flow through me where I don't have the strength to do it myself." Because in our flesh, our tendency is just to react to the situation. Years ago, we were vacationing down on Galveston Beach, and we pulled up to a drive-thru to get something to eat or drink. I don't remember what it was. When the speaker came on and the lady asked what we would like, it was like turned up to 10. And it blared so loud, I jumped. I rolled my window up because it was so loud, and I reacted. I yelled back at her. To which she replied, "Sir, you don't have to yell." And I said, "Well, then quit yelling at me." And we went back and forth like this, and I couldn't get her to turn the volume down. But it was interesting. It was up so loud that she had no trouble hearing me with the window up, the car running, and the air conditioning on. But I failed the test of showing love. Now, I suspect I'm not the only one who's ever failed that kind of test. But every time that test is there, it's one of those opportunities to see if we can let God work His Spirit through us so that the action can flow in love. And John goes on to say, God gives us confidence. Confidence because when we have failed, when we feel guilty, we are still able to go to Him and ask for forgiveness. And He gives it. And He gives us another chance to get back in relationship with Him and to be available the next opportunity to be the channel through which His love flows. And so we get to show that we trust Him, that we're letting Him work through us by showing love to sometimes those that are hard to love. There's a story that comes out of the days of Alexander the Great. On one occasion, he was ill, and his friend and physician was mixing up a potion for him to drink in order to help him get well. And about the time the doctor friend gave him the cup to drink, someone else handed him a letter, and he's sitting there with the drink in one hand and the letter in the other. And he read the letter, and it warned him not to drink the potion because it was poisoned. And there he sat in a dilemma of what to do. And after pausing for a moment, he lifted the cup and drank it to the last drop. And then he handed the letter to his friend, the doctor, and said, "See how much I trust you with my life." There's a sense in which that's what Jesus has done for us. He's given us His life. He's given us His Spirit to live in us, to be able to be the example not only for us, but for us to be the example for the world. And He entrusts us in those circumstances when it's difficult and challenging to give us the opportunity to trust in Him. To prove how much He loves us by loving those that are difficult to love. I don't know about you, but I suspect that somewhere in the next few days, God's going to give us, each of us individually, a test or two in this regard. An opportunity to let God's love flow when it might be difficult, it might be hard. Are we going to trust Him to give us the right words and the right deeds to do? Or are we going to fall back to our old ways of doing things? I had a friend who told me this story. One of his best friends had a parent, I've forgotten now, it was mother or father, who died in Florida. And my friend was living in Texas, and the funeral was going to be in Florida. And so my friend got in his car and drove virtually nonstop to Florida to be at the funeral, stopped at a gas station or somewhere to clean up, change clothes, and go to the funeral, to be there to hug his friend's neck and encourage him. Then he got back into the car and drove home in order not to miss any more work than necessary. And his friend asked him later, he says, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "Because that's what friends do. We support each other. We encourage each other. We lay down our lives for each other." This is what we're called to do and be. In the name of Jesus, let us pray. Lord, help us in these moments to sense Your Spirit work in us as You guide us and direct us and enable us to be channels of Your love, that we might prove Your love not only to ourselves but to the world in which we live. That You've given us an ability to love the unlovely and to be loving in the most difficult situations. Break our old spirits. Transform us into Your likeness. That our first inclination might be to follow Your example, to be loving, even when love is not expressed to us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we have our hymn of invitation. May it be an opportunity for the Lord to do His work in us, to guide us and direct us and enable us to be open to the power of His Spirit, to prove His love through our actions and through our words. The altar is open for prayer. You're invited to come. Love to pray with you if you'd like. There are those who'd like to join a membership with